We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and we're chatting today with Raleigh County Police Department Director Dennis Butler here. He's got the whole hour here this morning, and we're going to spend some time here. I won't get a chance to talk to you here before the anniversary that we're coming up on here for September 11th. It's the 20th anniversary of the terrorist attacks in New York, Washington, D.C., and, of course, the plane that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But I wanted to just kind of get a little reflection from you, Director Butler, because I know you worked in Virginia at the time that this happened, and just kind of curious what your experience of that day was like.
Well, I was a police lieutenant in Alexandria, Virginia, which is adjacent to Arlington County, which is where the Pentagon is located. And I had been at a late night city council meeting the night before, so I was going in a little late that morning and heard a radio report about a plane hitting a skyscraper in New York. And I'd heard those reports before because small planes have struck skyscrapers in New York more than once in the past. And that's what I thought it was. And I got to work and saw my coworkers huddled around a television watching one of the World Trade Center towers on fire, and it looked pretty serious. And while we were watching it, another plane hit the other tower. And then shortly after that, we got reports of a plane hitting the Pentagon. Now, I was in an administrative role. I didn't go up there that day. We sent officers to assist, and everybody knows what happened there that day. At some point from our building, again, as the crow flies, it was probably 7 miles away, 6-7 miles away, you could see smoke going up into the sky, thick black smoke. So we knew that day, and I won't get into other stuff that happened that day on a personal note with people I know and family, just the trauma of everything, especially people that worked at the Pentagon. We had friends that actually worked there and were there that day when it hit, and how that affected them. But it really did change how we did policing there. I was only there another 3 years, but we had a good relationship with federal law enforcement already. That was strengthened. We had to change our own security. Our police department and sheriff's office and jail were, you know, just a few miles from there and just a few blocks from the federal courthouse. So after that, when arrests were being made for sympathizers and people that they thought were participants in that, they were held at our jail. Our jail had a federal contract with the Marshal Service because the federal courthouse was 4 blocks away. So whenever they moved those prisoners to and from the courthouse, we had to provide security. We often did that with our tactical team. I remember the day John Walker Lind, who was called, nicknamed the American Taliban, was brought to our jail. He was brought there by helicopter, by a federal helicopter, which landed just down the street, and then we transported him to the jail. So things changed dramatically for us there. And, you know, when I came to Kansas a few years later, I was really looking forward to a less stressful work environment as a local police officer, which is what I love and what I wanted to be. I didn't want to be a federal law enforcement officer, but we were taking on a lot of those duties and roles. Unfortunately, that stuff has followed law enforcement everywhere in this country, not to that degree, but it is part of what we do every day is we work with our federal partners. We have a good relationship with them. We have officers assigned to the FBI and DEA on their task forces to help us have a better working relationship. And it's just the nature of how it is now. It was a tragic day. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years since it happened, and we lost so many lives that day, both citizens and law enforcement, firefighters, EMS, the list goes on. And it's important for folks that are younger not to forget what happened that day. It could happen again if we don't remain vigilant and take precautions and do things to protect us. It's a reminder to folks, you know, why we have been in another country for all these years. It all emanated from that act that day. I'm not going to comment on strategies, whether I agree or disagree about what's happened. Terribly, terribly distressed over the loss of 12 Marines and a Navy corpsman yesterday and all the civilians killed at the Kabul airport. So it's something that I don't know if we'll ever be able to adjust back to a normal sense of daily life. And we're having some events here on September 10th and 11th here locally. I'm attending some of those. And I attend it out of respect to the people that we've lost. I attend those things out of respect for the people that want to recognize first responders for their role. Even if none of us here were directly involved that day, I think we owe it to people who want to pay their respects to current first responders and ones that have lost their lives to participate.
Well, it's such a tragic day. And, you know, I was in high school at the time, and you know, I didn't ever fathom seeing anything like those images we saw. With the Pentagon specifically, as a 16-year-old, I never thought anything could penetrate the Pentagon like that. And I think that was a total shock for a lot of us that, you know, we had that big hole, that gaping hole that we saw in the images of the Pentagon for quite a while.
I think people who've never seen it in person really don't appreciate how large that building is. And my sister lived in Washington, D.C., and still does. I used to drive by it all the time on the highway next to it. 3 or 4 days after the Pentagon was struck by the plane, I was on the property of the Pentagon with another officer. I didn't get right up next to it, but close enough where the damage was just, I'm sure my mouth was hanging open as I looked at this. It really was hard to fathom that that had happened. Many people don't know this, but since then, a memorial has been built just west of the Pentagon in honor of Air Force members who had lost their lives. And this thing is built in a way to obstruct an air path for future attempts to try to strike the Pentagon from that direction. So there has been a lot of measures. The other thing that was really striking, a lot of people don't know this, was for months, might have been over a year, after the Pentagon was hit, the military had Patriot missile batteries stationed along the roadway coming to and from the Pentagon. You'd see them there every day, 24/7, and that was in case there were any additional attempts to attack the Pentagon by air. That went on for a while, and that was something I had never seen before off of a military base.
So many people couldn't fly for a while, and you know, we thought it was bad last year with COVID, when you couldn't fly hardly anywhere and the planes were shut down. It was completely different 20 years ago because they grounded all air traffic for, I think, a week or 2 weeks.
I don't remember how long it was. I know it was for a while, and the reason they initially did it at that time was because they didn't know if there were any other hijacked planes in the air that also had targets that they hadn't reached yet. So they just didn't know how comprehensive this attack would be and what other targets hadn't been hit yet. So that's why they grounded all the planes. I don't remember how long it took to get normal air traffic back up and running.
Yeah, well, I think it is important we remember. You're absolutely right. There's a younger generation here that, you know, it's been 20 years, and it happens. They weren't alive. They didn't experience it like you and I did. And the more we kind of keep it out there, I think, and just remind people that this can happen and has happened. And yeah, we see a lot of violence in the world, and I think sometimes we get a little numb to it.
Yeah, you know, when you see it, we have social media now. We see this all the time. It's just not on the evening news, and you're right, I think. And sometimes, you know, when you see social media posts, you're not sure if it's accurate or not, what the source is, and that adds to it. But it can desensitize people to what they believe is norm, nothing special, there's nothing for me to worry about. And I think that's a mistake as a country or as a citizen to look at it that way.
All right. Well, we're about out of time here. Is there anything else before we wrap up? Is RCPD involved with anything coming up that we should know about?
Well, you know, we just had the torch run last weekend.
That's right.
We had a great success there. We raised $1,300, and we fed all of our runners with our barbecue truck, gave them a pancake and sausage breakfast. And I know the Duck Dash is coming up, so I would encourage folks who want to support the Manhattan Boys and Girls Club to go on the website that they have and donate to the Duck Dash to help assist with their programming, because that's one of the ones that we like to be involved in.
Isn't Josh Kyle heavily involved in that?
Very heavily involved. He and a couple of other staff, one of our secretaries, Shannon Asher in the detective division, is also a big advocate and tries to raise money for this.
All right. Well, good initiatives here in our community, and we hope people will support those. Director Butler, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for coming out.
I love you giving me the opportunity. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right. You do the same. It's going to wrap up our show here this morning. Coming up on Monday, we're going to have a little different guest here. We got the Food and Farm Council guest going to show up here for a segment, and then we'll have that interview with Fatima Jaguri. We'll play that back on Monday as well. And still working on filling the rest of the segments. We'll get the rest of that scheduled here before too long. Dave?
All right. That interview with Fatima is on the website, right? Very
that is,
powerful.
That is correct.
All right. Brandon, thank you much. Coming up next, Blueville's Horticulture Hints. Derek is going to be in the studio with us this morning. And then we'll have K-State Volleyball on the other side of Blueville beginning at 11 here at News Radio KMAN. And then we'll just see where the rest of the day goes, because we don't, you know, we'll probably have a little bit of Dave Ramsey and then Dan Patrick at the best of the game. And Royals, not tonight, because we got Kansas City Chiefs football. Chiefs at home against the Minnesota Vikings. That begins at 6 here at News Radio KMAN. Have a great weekend.